Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Oh, that's my Prime delivery.
What, already?
Only one thing can match the buzz of Prime's fast delivery, and that's the buzz of Prime's entertainment.
What are we watching?
Heads of State, that new action comedy with Idris Elba as the Prime Minister, John Cena as the President, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas as their only hope. Looks like a blast.
From fast delivery to explosive entertainment, it's on Prime. For only $8.99 a month, join now. Content includes limited ads, subscription auto-renews. For more information, go to amazon.co.uk/prime.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
Charlie, I have great news.
Ooh, what's that?
Hate is back in pop. Hooray!
Huzzah! Why is that great news?
For too long, we have been forced to exude positivity in the name of post-genre poptimism, embracing all sounds and listeners, expanding the inclusivity of pop. I'm happy to report, Charlie, that this reign of terror is over. Doe-eyed optimism is out, and snark is in.
Who is this musicologist? Darth Sloan? Who have you replaced? This is Dark Nate.
And who do we have to thank for this resurgence of rapacity? Okay, I'm reaching my limit here.
Perez Hilton? Pop heads? Who is it?
It is Benson Boone. God.
Yelling man himself.
That's his mega hit, Beautiful Things, which was released back in January 2024 and is still on the charts today, a year and a half later. And for a certain subset of listeners, hearing this beautiful song brings up some dark thoughts.
Explain.
Rolling Stone has described Boone as swaggerless.
Ooh.
New Music Express calls him gloopy. Pitchfork says he is fundamentally boring.
Ooh, pot shot.
In the face of this flood of flagellation, Boone remains undaunted. He's got a brand new album out, in fact, called American Heart. So I feel like this is a great opportunity because personally, when I see someone in pop just absorbing so much execration, I'm immediately intrigued.
You've been hitting the thesaurus real hard, haven't you?
Well, it's like I'm a rubbernecker at a car accident. You know, I want to know, is it really that bad? And if so, is it the music or is it something extra musical? Something that this 5'8" mulleted and mustachioed ex-Mormon represents to these critics? That's what I really want to find out, Charlie. So will you come on this journey of generally bad music with me? Okay, see, I'm tapping out. I'm failing.
Yeah, this is not your forte. I feel like you're putting us in a real boondoggle, if you will, trying to make the show go negative. But if we must, I'll give it a try.
We're not going negative.
Oh.
We're going to examine the negativity.
Okay.
And yes, take a little titillating pleasure in it as well, certainly. But ultimately, we are passive observers here.
Okay.
And yes, I heard your boondoggle, and I begrudgingly accept that it's a very clever alliterative pun. So
thank you. I'll try this with you. I don't fully accept that we'll be passive observers, but let's see what happens.
All right, we'll see. Who is Benson Boone? That's the first thing we have to address here.
I would like to know, because I feel like a few months ago, never heard of this guy, and there are few new stars that have been minted so quickly as Benson Boone.
He is 23 years old.
Young.
He hails from Monroe, Washington. He dropped out of Brigham Young University after one semester to pursue music. In 2021, he was on American Idol.
Oh.
And he got to the second stage of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, kind of in a rare move for that show, he said, you know what? I'm out of here.
He stepped out?
He stepped out. He was like, I'm feeling pretty good about, you know, how I performed here. And I'm just going to go do my own thing.
I feel like that's going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and being like, all right, Regis, I've made it to $10,000. I'm pleased. I don't need a million.
Do you want to hear a little bit of Benson Boone on American Idol? See what gave him that confidence to leave the competition?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I didn't know I could sing before a year ago, so I don't know where
it
came
from. You never sang Happy Birthday?
I did, but I just sung it bad with my friends, because, you know. But I don't know, it's become a really big passion of mine really quickly, and so I auditioned.
Your heart never learns. No use in fighting the words. If you're yes. Never here when it hurts, because I'm a joke.
There's some nice moments, a diversity of vocal stylings, a lot of cursive singing. Little pitchy. You know, I always tell my students that you need to have an unearned amount of self-confidence to be a star.
Mm.
And he's definitely giving that.
Lionel Richie and company, eat it up. They love this kid.
Oh, yeah?
Even though, as we learned, you know, he only started singing a year ago. And so perhaps fueled by their enthusiasm, he says, you know what? I'm going to go off on my own. And it pays off.
Hmm.
He is signed by Dan Reynolds, the frontman of Imagine Dragons, to Reynolds' Warner Brothers label imprint.
Hmm.
Benson Boone starts doing a lot of TikToks, as one must in the 21st century.
Hmm.
And he starts to get a little momentum. He releases his first single in 2021. It's called Ghost Town. We still have that cursive singing style we heard in his American Idol audition, where you don't quite fully pronounce all of the consonants and you do a lot of diphthongization on the vowels, down, 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 that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. We did a whole episode about it. Go check it out.
Yes.
This song does crack the Billboard Hot 100, number 100. That's where it goes. It does very well in the country of Norway, where it hits number one for some reason.
Whoa.
But we do have to wait a number of years until January 2024 for Boone to really saturate the culture. And that's when the song we listened to at the very start of this episode, Beautiful Things, comes out. That song peaks at number two on the Hot 100, hits number one in 19 other countries. He opens for Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour.
Oh.
And in April, his debut album, Fireworks and Rollerblades, comes out.
Fireworks and Rollerblades? It's such Americana.
It comes from a line in one of his songs, the simile, I'm paraphrasing, you move me like a firework strapped to a rollerblade.
Okay.
And then in a very Benson Boone move, he literalizes that image by making the cover of the album him roller skating with fireworks attached to his rollerblades. It's like, okay, we get it. You're right. It's so hard to be a passive observer, Charlie. I can't help but let a little snark sneak in.
It's very literal.
So now it's a little over a year later. It's summer 2025, and Benson Boone has a new album. It's called American Heart. And the pressure is on. He needs to match the success of Beautiful Things, which is a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, there's all this criticism that's been swirling around him, you know? So
mm-hmm.
He has a lot to overcome. Can he do it? Let's listen. The first single off American Heart is a song we mentioned briefly in our Chartbreakers episode from a while back.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Sorry, I'm Here for Someone Else.
I'm sorry I'm here for someone else, but it's good to see your face. And I really hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well.
That one's grown on me.
I agree. I think this is a lovely song. It's got a lyrical concept that you haven't quite heard before, this idea of running into an ex at a bar or restaurant and sort of having that moment of what could have been, but now I'm with someone else. And I don't know that that's been explored in pop before, so I'm into it.
He's got an angle.
We've got some Chapel Roan-esque cheerleading chants leading into the first verse.
Let's pick it up now.
Yeah.
But the song really comes alive when we get to the chorus, because he and his co-writers on most of his first album and his second album, Evan Blair and Jack LaFrance, they switch up the beat.
But I'm here for someone else.
What happened there? We had this fast tempo. One, two, three, four. Then we got to the start of the chorus and all the instrumentation dropped out. So we still feel that pulse underneath, but we're not actually hearing it. And then when the beat does come back in, it's at half the speed.
Right.
Boom, cha, boom, cha, instead of da, 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 da. And it's really sort of pleasurable and disorienting and unusual.
Yeah.
And I think it supports the meaning of this song, because it kind of like freezes this moment in time when these people encounter each other, and it becomes very cinematic, I think. It's not totally unprecedented.
Happens in A-ha's Take On Me.
Take On Me, Charlie. Ah, I could kiss you through the screen right now.
Thanks.
There it is.
Slowing It Down is powerful. It's a different thing, but Fun's We Are Young does something similar where the chorus is significantly slower than the verses before it. I feel like sometimes slowing down has that cinematic quality of like zooming the lens in really close so that you have to pay attention to that moment. It's powerful.
So we're Bully on Sorry I'm Here for Somebody Else, but that's just one track, Charlie. Let's listen to three more to see if Benson Boone can keep the hits coming. Let's listen to his second single, Mystical Magical.
This song reminds me of Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar. A song, when I first heard it, I was like, this is the stupidest lyric I've ever heard. It's total pop confection. And yet, the second or third time you try it, you're like, I'd like to have a little bit more. Watermelon sugar high. You know what I'm saying? Lots of repetition, simple chords, kind of like laid back dance vibe. I feel like Mystical Magical has that same kind of quality. The first time I heard Mystical Magical, I was like, okay, maybe that's an obvious little lyrical turn of phrase. Then he says it again, and I'm like, why are you repeating yourself so much? And then I hear the hook again for the second or third time, and I'm feeling mystical and magical. It has a way of working its way into you.
Well, I'm moved by the Harry Styles comparison, Charles, but I did think you were going to say something else in terms of what the song reminds you of.
Mm.
Can I play the chorus for you one more time?
Sure. Oh, wait.
Oh, Charlie is stressed. It's on the tip of his tongue.
Oh, it's Olivia Newton-John's Physical.
It's Olivia Newton-John's Physical.
This is a site of frequent reference now. Doja Cat and SZA used it on Kiss Me More.
And there's even one more interpolation of the song in recent pop. It's the song Prisoner by Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa.
It's one of these melodic phrasings which I feel like probably shouldn't earn copyright protection. It's so small. Dun, 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 dun dun dun, right? Just this little syncopated phrase. But it does remind me of Physical. Do you feel like this repetition of this frequently cited song is the thing that makes Benson Boone, quote, fundamentally boring?
Great question. I mean, no, because otherwise we have to call Doja Cat and SZA boring. Mm-hmm. We have to call Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa boring. Mm. And I'm sure there's even some other examples out there that I haven't noticed.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a slippery slope, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, then what do you think of Mystical Magical beyond this Olivia Newton-John reference?
I think it's like you said, it's perfectly serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't offend me. It doesn't excite me. It's kind of like the chocolate pudding they give you at the hospital, you know? You're not like, oh, wow, this is so thrilling that I get to eat this. But you're also like, yeah, it's, you know, something to pass the time. It's a little sweet, empty calories.
I want to give the song one more look, though. I feel like this is a song where his vocals are serving him.
Yes. Okay. This is, I was going to say, no. I need to take credit for this because I just said something harsh. Give this to me. Yes.
Okay.
His vocals are really good. I was going to say that.
Oh, really?
I think his vocals are very strong here. This dude is a good singer.
Yeah.
Okay. Please continue, Charlie.
Well, I think Beautiful Things has this sort of yelly moment where there's
please!
A bit of. Yeah. It's a form of exasperated male expression that I'm just not excited by. But the way that he sort of flies into his head voice when he sings Mystical and Magical has this frailty and vulnerability that works for the lyric. Like, he's trying to dip into something very mystical, something in the beyond. And I feel like that's where his voice is reaching. He has a very untrained vibrato, which gives his voice its own sonic character. Just like Post Malone, who kind of bleats like a goat. His vibrato, you know, a classical singer would probably say, oh, you're placing something in the wrong spot and it's not resonating in the right way. But it's in the Benson Boone way. And I think that that is fundamental to star power, having your own vocal style. And that's what I hear in Mystical Magical.
Yeah, it's a little quasi-operatic, a little bit rock, a little bit Freddie Mercury.
Which is a comparison that nobody wants. I mean, when I didn't like when he did Bohemian Rhapsody, performed at Coachella with Brian May of Queen, and he just can't pull off the Freddie Mercury. He's not that talent. I think it's always dangerous to try to compare yourself to the super greats, even though I hear he uses his falsetto a lot. He's got a decent range, but he's not a Freddie Mercury type singer. Yeah.
I said a little bit.
A little Freddy. Bit. A little a bit.
Little,
yes,
little
yes.
bit. A dram, an iota.
Freddy-ish.
But you put all these things together in this little hook. Mm. You've got the Olivia Newton-John Physical reference.
Mm.
You've got the vocal signature stylings of Mr. Boone. You've got this nice Harry Styles-esque nonsense chorus that nevertheless is kind of appealing. That's a recipe for a hit song right there.
That's a good pop cocktail.
Two songs in, and we're still pretty in favor of Boone's offerings here. Charlie, let's take five and come back, and we're going to listen to two tracks that will challenge us to find our goodwill towards this singer.
See you on the other side.
The £5 meal deal from McDonald's. Get a cheeseburger or mayo chicken, medium fries, four McNuggets, and a medium soft drink for guess what? That's right, £5. Yeah. Yeah. It's not called the £5 meal deal for nothing. From 11 a.m. Not available on delivery. Carbonated soft drink upgrade fees apply. Participating restaurants subject to availability.
New York Magazine dropped a special Hamptons issue on June 23rd, spotlighting the personalities, social scenes, and shifting power dynamics that define the summer enclave alongside the season's most exciting new openings. While New York has covered the Hamptons for years, this dedicated issue signals something more: the enduring fascination with a world that, in summer, becomes utterly unlike anywhere else. It's out now and on newsstands for a month. Don't miss it. Subscribe now to get access to it all. For a limited time, get up to 50% off subscriptions this season. Visit nymag.com/summersale to redeem.
What's up, y'all? It's Kenny Beecham. The 2024-2025 NBA season is over, but all that means for us is that the 2025-2026 season is already beginning. On Small Ball, we'll be talking about breaking news, major trades, and all the exciting developments the offseason has in store. Which teams are tearing it down? Who is retooling to make a championship push? And what teams are leaving me dumbfounded by their lack of direction? Don't miss Small Ball with Kenny Beecham. New episodes drop every Friday, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's confront a song that will challenge our boonography. It is Mama Song.
Mama, I'm missing home, and California's getting cold, and cold, and cold. I miss you. Mama, I'm getting old. Does that mean you're getting old?
All right, the way you feel about this song probably will tell us a lot about how you feel about Benson Boone in general. Is this a sweet, moving tribute to the people in our lives who never get enough credit and love, the moms? Or is it treacly, mawkish, a commercial grab to try and pull at the country's collective heartstrings? Where are you coming down on this one?
Ooh.
And there's no in between.
Well, two things struck the wrong chord. First, it just really feels like he's leaning into that Freddie Mercury comparison. A song called Mama, it's like, Mama, life has just begun. Like, it reminds me so much of Bohemian Rhapsody, even in the way that he sings the words Mama, backed by this very bright piano that sounds like Freddie's piano.
Mama, just killed a man. Mama, I'm missing home.
He's clearly setting up a comparison that you just don't want to put that in people's minds. It, I think, weakens the song. My second problem is that he says, Mama, I'm getting old. I don't need to be taking life advice from someone who's just becoming an adult and saying they feel like they're getting old. He's not old. He's got lots of life to live.
23 years
old. Go live your life. Yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way. I do side a little bit with that moms don't get enough credit anywhere in the world, let alone in the world of pop music. And this is a sweet song, so I can't be that mad about him loving his mom.
Not necessarily a criticism, but people have noted that, weirdly, his voice sounds like Adele's on this one.
Does that mean you're getting older? And older, and older, I miss you.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years...
Hello, it's me, Benson Boone, with a strange accent. I mean, you know, if you're going to make a piano ballad, I would understand why someone who's 23 years old would reference Adele. They both have a little of that sandpaper grain in the voice.
The way they hit their vowels is very similar. And it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, Benson Boone cites Adele as an influence. He covered her song Easy on Me. It's like probably part of his musical DNA.
Yeah.
But does it save this song? Does it make up for the sampling of children giggling and running at the beginning of this track, which I know is supposed to make you feel kind of wholesome and nostalgic, but just makes me, maybe as a parent, we're just like, that's all we hear all day is kids laughing or more frequently crying or whining.
Yeah.
I don't want it in my pop music.
Nope.
I don't want children in my music.
Kids shouldn't be at restaurants. Kids shouldn't be in pop music. We need some safe spaces for adult living.
All right, let's get to the last song from this album I want to talk about. It's called Mr. Electric Blue.
Okay. I love a Wurlitzer.
Yeah.
Electric piano.
Mm.
I get that there's a sort of 80s Bruce Springsteen Americana that he's trying to achieve on the record. But why does it sound more like Huey Lewis in the News in like 80s rock and roll revival from the 80s? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. It's reminiscent a little bit of Harry Styles again.
Yeah, right.
You know, he started his album, Harry's House, with music for a sushi restaurant, which, as we discussed, referenced Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. Mm-hmm. So I feel like similar with Watermelon Sugar and Mystical Magical, he's following that Harry Styles playbook a little bit here.
Maybe it's because like the 80s were the last time I feel like a like straight white male pop star had sex appeal. Like even Phil Collins was a major sex symbol.
Interesting.
And that like, you know, the grunge era completely killed that. And it just feels like ever since we've been in the land of the pop girlies, which is what I want to be listening to and I'm very happy with. But to find a contemporary reference, you got to go back 4 decades if you want to be a pop star in the likes of Benson Boone.
This one is a little tough for me.
Yeah.
I think it's the complete absence of meaning. Mr. Electric Blue, like what? That doesn't mean anything. And neither did Mystical Magical, perhaps. But this just doesn't land for me for some reason. What? I thought this guy was just into dancing and letting the good times, and now he's got to be a hardworking American who fights. Like, make up your mind, Mr. Electric Blue. Like, why are you on my airwaves? I don't understand.
It's like the boss without any of the politics, which maybe is fitting for this moment where even Bruce Springsteen has become a politicized character. He's playing to the hardworking nature of the working class without providing any of the sort of necessary criticism about how the state treats the working class. And really, the song ends up feeling more like it's just an act of self-mythologizing where he is Mr. Electric Blue. It makes me think of his performance at the Grammys where he wore this beautiful blue sequined suit and did all these backflips. But maybe that's to his benefit. Like I said at the beginning, to be a pop star, you have to have an unearned amount of self-confidence, and he has that in spades in this song.
I think that's well said, Charlie. On one hand, he's trying to subvert his persona in the video of the song. He walks into a record executive's office, and he's wearing a one-hit wonder t-shirt. And the executive says, we need a hit. And he says, I don't know how to do that. And he says, can you write better songs? And Benson Boone says, you know, I can't do that. So he's willing to like poke fun at his own persona. And later he sells discount jumpsuits in the video. So he's like aware of this, but he's also kind of trapped a little bit. Like one of my favorite anti-Boone lines is the website Exclaim talking about Mama Song says, only a mother could love Benson Boone's Mama Song. And in the review, they kind of read into his lyrics as being this like America first, rah-rah, we're the best kind of, which I'm not sure I totally get, but it does speak to how politicized even an artist as sort of bland as Benson Boone is in our contemporary climate. Maybe there's some truth to that, but I think it says a lot about how we perceive an artist like this, even when the music itself doesn't really stake out a claim in any way.
Mm.
In fact, it seems to be actively avoiding having anything opinionated to say.
That probably speaks to both his broad appeal and his broad criticism. On the one hand, he's not giving you anything particularly polarizing, and on the other, you don't know exactly what he stands for. I don't know, I'm just browsing his Wikipedia page right now, and the second image of him on there is a 2022 photo of this smiling guy, no mustache yet, wearing a shirt that says genuine. And I think there's something about his music which reads very sort of like clean, genuine, safe, nothing too difficult. And that might be part of the criticism. People want something more biting from their pop music.
Mm.
But that also might make it less popular. In order to reach his widest audience, I think Boone is making songs that are maybe safe, but also broad in their appeal. He's singing about his mom. He's singing about the beautiful things in his life. He's singing about how great it is to be a pop star. I feel like that's part of the formula of making it to the top, which is what he's doing right now.
Yes. I mean, this is epitomized by the backflip, which is sort of his right, signature move.
Right.
And it's very impressive. I mean, go Google Benson Boone backflip compilation. It is a great watch. I mean, I am not immune to the charms of an acrobatic backflip. But it's also this kind of innocuous gesture, which is not a criticism, but it doesn't take a stand on anything. And even when he kind of has a misstep, you know, like he got clowned for some of the lyrics to Mystical Magical that went moonbeam ice cream, taking off your blue jeans, dancing at the movies.
I like those lyrics. They're innocent.
Like moonbeam ice cream, taking off your blue jeans, dancing at the movies.
Really? Is dancing at the movies a thing? It's not, first of all. and Moonbeam Ice Cream, he took that line and turned it into a literal ice cream product that you can buy. So it's like things just kind of wash off him, you know? He's got that kind of glow right now.
Well, maybe that's what makes him America's beating heart. He's brazen and unafraid to capitalize on every single moment to make a buck.
Yes. And weirdly, there might be something kind of beautiful in that. After all the negative criticism, I feel like I have to share an article from Slate written by a mom of a teenage boy. And she titled this piece, "He's cringe, try hard, sappy. I'm so glad my boys stan him." She's really into the fact that her kids are huge booners, or boonies, perhaps.
Boondoggles.
Because he's got a positive message. He doesn't drink or smoke. He's maybe religious, but he admits that he broke with the Mormon faith that he grew up in. He's finding his own way in the world. He's pretty harmless and maybe even a good influence, which is a weird thing to say about a pop star in this day and age. And part of me wants to be like, boo, that's not what pop music is for. Pop music is subversive and edgy and rebellious and challenges the status quo. But maybe there's also a place for someone like Benson Boone. Maybe it's okay to be a little bland and a little electric blue.
Nate, you say that Benson Boone is safe, he's innocuous. Have you seen this guy with a shirt off and his glistening abs? Come on, this guy is a symbol of you know what, and it is getting hot. It's hot this summer. Benson Boone is part of it, but it's also literally, I've been living through a heat wave. Summer is upon us, and that means we are looking for songs of summer. What are the things that are speaking to people through these heat waves, whether they are generated by Benson Boone or actual weather patterns? Let us know what songs of summer you're digging to help us inform what we're going to be covering this summer.
Tell us what you're listening to this summer at Switched on Pop on Instagram and TikTok. Or head over to our website where you can score your very own Switched on Pop swim trunks or tote bag.
We've even got tanks, hats. It's summertime. You need the apparel. And of course, while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. We give you updates every single week. Switched on Pop is produced by Rana Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, theme song by Zach Tenario and Jossie Adams of Archiris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Mag. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod. We'll be back again on Tuesday with a new episode, and until then, thanks for listening.